But as we see here, they have this function of discerning what is to be done next. And so when we think about the Lord Jesus as the one who does the work of carrying our names into the presence of God as a memorial, we find that he also has this service towards us of, in this case, Eliezer, would stand by Joshua. Really, Joshua would stand by Eliezer. Joshua was now going to be serving the Lord. And we often see Joshua as a figure or illustration or type of Christ himself. But I'd like to make him a type of all of us in this example, that he is being appointed for the service of the people. He is going to receive a responsibility. He's going to be given a task. He's going to be commissioned in the work of the Lord. And he would have a place by Eliezer where Eliezer would be able to somehow, we don't know really, there's no description precisely how it was done, but somehow these stones would give an indication of what the Lord's will was right now. What should be done right now? What should be done next? And Joshua would go to Eliezer. He would stand before Eliezer the priest, and Joshua would inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of the Urim. It says, at his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in. And I think here, at his word, I think this is the word of Eliezer, because it says, he and all the children of Israel with him, which seems to refer to Joshua. So I take this verse to mean, at the word of Eliezer, Joshua would lead the people out. At the word of Eliezer, Joshua would bring the people in. All the people of Israel would be led by Joshua, and Joshua would be directed by the high priest who had the Urim and the Thummim. And this is how it is for us. We want to be servants of the Lord. We want to be useful for him. And in the capacity that the Lord Jesus has as that high priest, we first of all realize we are never forgotten. He carries our names on that breastplate, each one with its own name. And then we realize, too, that we have a place by him. And with that Urim and Thummim, he gives us direction. This was apparently a very intimate relationship. That is to say, Joshua couldn't stand way over here and watch Eliezer over there in the distance, and Eliezer would sort of give some hand signals or something like that. There was a place by Eliezer. He would stand by Eliezer. He'd be close to the high priest, and he would wait for a word of instruction. He would wait for the opportunity to understand this is what is to be done next. And then I would also just characterize this, that not only the high priest, but even there are times when priests generally would exercise this discernment. And just we could turn to Ezra. Chapter 2, I think it is. Ezra chapter 2. There's a very long list of names that have returned in Ezra chapter 2. This is not the time of Ezra yet. We actually saw this 2 weeks ago, and those who could be at the conference in Wayne. Ezra only arrives on the scene really in chapter 7. But a few decades before, this man, Zerubbabel, in verse 1 of chapter 2, and verse 2 really is where his name is given, he and others came back to Jerusalem after the 70 years of captivity. And there is a long and precise list of names. Just as a little aside, it's very nice. There are hardly any that you would say, well, that must just be an estimate. And sometimes the scriptures give estimated numbers, which is very reasonable. It's how people give numbers. You know, there are about 5,000 men, besides women and children, who received the bread and fish in the time of the Lord's feeding. There probably were not precisely 5,000. It's okay to use estimates. It's the way we use numbers. But here, there are so many precise names. Just picking some out. Verse 26, 621. Verse 31, 254, you could go down all the list, precise names. And couldn't we say that this is a nice illustration of that breastplate with those stones? Every stone with its name, not just 12, but those 12 representative of every individual is not forgotten. But then there were some who in verse 62, they sought their listing among those who were registered by genealogy, and records hadn't been kept very accurately. It wasn't certain what their genealogy was. And so they were not permitted to carry out priestly service until it could be determined. And how could it be determined? Verse 62, the governor said, that's Zerubbabel, said to them, they should not eat of the most holy things until a priest could consult with the Urim and Thummim. And I would say to us, this is where we might see ourselves in this responsibility. Not focusing now so much on who gets to eat of the holy things and who is accomplishing the service of the priest, but just this idea that there was a matter that had to be determined. There was a matter that had to be unraveled, and it couldn't be sorted out because there was no clear written record. Is all lost? No, because there could be a priest who would bring the Urim and Thummim, and there would be discernment. The application of God's principles could be applied, could be determined and applied to their situation so that there could be an understanding. It doesn't say until a priest could dig up the records and find out what was what. It was that a priest was going to seek the mind of God and determine what God would indicate should be done at this moment for these people in this time. How should the people move forward? It was by seeking the mind of God, asking God by the Urim and the Thummim, and there was always an expectation. We don't know how it was, but there was always an expectation there would be an answer. The only person who never got an answer by the Urim and Thummim, I think, is Saul. It says that he got no answer from God by visions or dreams or by the Urim. Saul had no recourse because he had already turned aside from God. But every single one of us who first we come to the high priest who has the Urim and the Thummim, and we see first that our names are there engraved on those stones, and he reaches inside to the place by his heart, and he determines, he shows us what to do next as we're standing near him. And then also we may have that responsibility when we are carrying out the work of the priest ourselves to be used by the Lord to discern what he wants to be done, to give advisements, to give counsel, to understand what the people of Israel should do for ourselves. I was thinking of the people who they understood the times so that they would know what the people of Israel should do. We don't have to limit that to that character. We have that character as well. We have the Word of God. The Word of God, and we have the Spirit of God. These are really, could we say, these are our Urim and Thummim. These are the only resources, really, that a Christian can reliably consult. We ask advice of others. That's very helpful. We follow examples of those who have served the Lord and so on. That's very helpful. We seek the guidance of others who have written down thoughts about the Scriptures. That's very helpful. But the Lord Jesus, he said to the people who were left behind in the day of Malachi, and it's in Haggai, he says, which he was contemporary with Ezra a little later, said to Haggai, "My word and my spirit, the word and my spirit that I gave you when you came out of Egypt, you still have that." And we say that for ourselves, with the word and the Spirit of God. Very few resources, but they are all we need. They are sufficient for ourselves to be guided and instructed by the one who is our great high priest.